Good morning. It's good to see you today. In fact, it's good for all of us to see you and for you to see us. So take a look around. We're a family. We're older and younger and bigger and smaller and at various stages of our life, but we've come together this morning to worship and to gather together. But we come in faith, claiming a promise. We're claiming the promise that Jesus made, that he is here with us now. If you're joining us at home, if you're online, or wherever you might be, you're very welcome, and we hope that you will be blessed and encouraged as we are, as we meet together today. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord God, our Father, we thank you that we come as your children into your presence this morning. We thank you for the invitation that brings us here. We ask, Lord, that today you would open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you speaking our voice, and Lord, that we might feel your touch, that you would come close to us, that you would help us as we live our lives to know your presence in the things that we do. And so we commit ourselves to you now, asking that you would bless us today and encourage us and lift us up. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a special day. I don't know whether or not you have been looking around and realizing that there are some things that are different this morning, but today is Advent, or the beginning of Advent. Now, Advent is not a sort of word that you use every day or even very often. Advent is a word for this time of year. It's a sort of looking forward, getting ready, waiting sort of word. So Advent describes this period of time that we are in. You've probably seen the candles that are here beside me, and each Sunday for the next four Sundays we're going to light one candle. So today Stephen and Stephanie and Lauren and Leslie are going to come, and they're going to light our first Advent candle for us.
Light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ and of the love he has for us. The angel said to Joseph, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This would fulfill the word of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that we should not perish, but have eternal life. Let us live in the light of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who loved us and gave himself for us.
Thank you. We come together at a time when we are thinking about another coming, a time when God came among us, a baby born in an ordinary and unremarkable stable. But God announced his birth in an extraordinary and remarkable set of events that attracted wise men and shepherds to that place. We heard the words that Stephen read from Matthew chapter 23 that tell us who that child is, Emmanuel, God with us. That big idea, God with us, is the idea in our first hymn. There's some difficult words and some unfamiliar ideas there, but each verse reminds us of a different name that describes Jesus. And it tells us God's story in history and his story for us today. His rescue plan, his ransom, the setting free, giving us hope and a reason to rejoice. So let's sing, O come, Emmanuel. Stephanie and Lauren were up here earlier. Did you see them? And did you hear what they were saying or what was being said? Have you got it yet? Have you got what it is that we're supposed to be waiting for? What it is we're looking forward to? Advent candles like these help us to think about Jesus. Help us to get ready to celebrate his coming into the world to live among us. So Advent is a special time, and I've got a book, an Advent book. Advent is a not yet time. That's what it says on the front of the Advent book. It says, wait, get ready. I don't know about you, but what sort of things do you wait for? What things do you sort of have to get ready for? Can you think of anything that you maybe have to wait for? Yeah, shout it out really loud. Christmas, you have to wait for that. What other things do you wait for? Maybe do you wait for holidays? Do you wait for maybe somebody to come and visit, like Granny and Grandpa coming to visit? Things that you have to get ready for. Maybe you have to tidy up your room. Waiting and getting ready. Well, I'm going to let you into a secret. I'm not very good at waiting. But sometimes, and maybe this happens in your house too, sometimes you get some help with waiting. Does anybody get mum and dad to tell them how many sleeps you have before something special is going to happen? Anybody do that? Oh, yeah, some people nodding over there. Anybody over there do that? Yeah. Well, you might do that. Or maybe sometimes, maybe mummy or somebody might have a calendar, maybe on the fridge, and maybe put X's on things. And my Advent book is really good, because what do you see what it's got? In my Advent book, it's got lots of little doors in it. And it helps you to wait for things, because maybe you've seen one of these before. Do you know what it is? I was putting some stickers on this morning, if I brought some more, because I like to know which ones are first, because they've all got numbers on them. There's a 1, and there's a 2 on that one, and then there's a 3 over there. But does anybody know what to do with this? No? Nobody knows? Oh, you know? What do you do? When you're waiting, and you're waiting for getting to Christmas time, you open the doors, and you have to open them just one at a time. Do you think it would be okay to open them? Maybe not. Because I tell you why, actually, because I'm just looking at the second page in my book. No, it says you're not allowed to open them because you have to wait and get ready. But it says that when you're waiting, you have to do something. You have to do some thinking and some learning. You see, waiting. There's all sorts of things that you have to wait for. I don't know. Maybe you have to wait. Some waiting is just waiting. You know, like when you're waiting for daddy to stop talking so that something can happen. Or maybe you're waiting for mummy to find the keys so that you can go out the car. That's just sort of waiting. But then sometimes there's waiting that's really quite important waiting. You know, sort of waiting that you have to wait at the side of the road and check that the cars aren't coming before you cross, because that would be dangerous. Well, sometimes waiting means that you have to just do something when you wait. Or you have to wait because you need to think about something. Or maybe you have to wait because you need to learn something so that you get ready for what's going to happen. So, every week, when we light a candle, we're doing some waiting and we're counting down the weeks. But we're also going to learn something. So each of the candles is going to help us to learn something that God wants us to know. Before we learn about what's in the first candle, what the first candle's about today, Ruth is going to come and talk to God.
Let's all pray together. Let's talk to God. Dear Father God, thank you that we can be with our church family today, whether we are watching at home or here in our church building. Lord God, you really are amazing, and we want to say thank you that you have made each of us and that you know us all so well. May we keep on getting to know you more and more. Father God, sometimes we find it hard to wait. We are sorry for the times when we want to rush ahead. We know that while we are waiting, you are always with us. Thank you for everything that we can learn while we are waiting for something special. Help us to trust you while we wait. During this season of Advent, we ask that you will teach us all something new and exciting about you. Most of all today, we want to thank you for your love and for all the ways that you show us how you love us. Help us to think of ways to love others well too. Please be with us as we worship you here today, and may we all be very aware of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to set my Advent book over here because I've got a question for you. Now, you've spotted the candles, but have you spotted, is there anything else that changed? Is there anything, you think you know, what else is different? All those behind me, lots of words behind me. And we've got a word for each of the candles. And do you know what the word for today is? It's the first one right up there, that one that says love. I wonder what sort of things we could learn about love and about God loving us. Well, I brought some friends with me today. They are so excited to be here because normally they live in the toy box. Maybe you'll have met friends like this. Maybe you've even got some friends like this in your house. Ah, anybody recognize that one? Yeah, who is that? Do you know? Yeah. It's Piglet. Yes, Piglet. When you've got Piglet, oops, Piglet's not going to sit up very well. Yeah, when you've got Piglet, who else do you usually find? Yeah, there we go. There he is. And, oh, yeah, Pooh and Piglet were having a conversation. And Piglet was asking, Pooh, how do you spell love? Now, Piglet and Pooh often had important conversations like that. Pooh, well, I'm not sure that he knew the answer to that question because he didn't tell Piglet how to spell love. What, do you know what he said? He said, Piglet, you don't spell love. You feel it. How do you feel love? Do you think, I think that Pooh had something really quite important to say when he said, you feel it. Because I think he was thinking about how you tell somebody else that you love them and how you know that they love you. And I wondered whether or not there are some things that we could learn about love, about how you feel it, maybe how you hear it, and maybe how you see it. So I thought of some things that might help us to think about that. I think maybe sometimes you feel love when somebody really gives you a nice hug. Maybe sometimes when you climb up beside mummy or daddy and you snuggle in beside them and maybe you read a book or you talk about what you've been doing or you just spend some time with them. Maybe that's one of the ways that Piglet was thinking how you feel love whenever you spend time with somebody. And then maybe how do you hear love? Well, maybe you hear love whenever somebody uses your name and calls your name because they want to help you feel better because you're sore, you're hurting, or maybe you're worried or anxious about something. They come and that you hear them speaking your name and talking to you, and you can hear love. And sometimes you can see love. Difficult to see. But maybe sometimes something like Granny and Grandpa comes along to do something that you just couldn't do yourself. Or maybe something like when Dad comes along and picks you up and puts you on his shoulders so that you can see things that you couldn't see if he wasn't there to help you. So, whenever we light the candle and we think about love, we're thinking about the love that God has for us. And whenever Jesus came, he came to live with us and among us, came to show us what God was like. He came so that we could hear him and see him and know that he was there. And God was sending us a message. And the message was, I love you. You see, God knows your name and mine. In fact, he knows everything about us. And he knows that he said some things that I would remember and were helpful. He said, don't be afraid, because I am always with you. And then he said something really important. He said, I have come to give you life. Things that we couldn't do for ourselves, God has done. When we need comfort and when things are worrying us and causing us to be anxious, he speaks our name because he knows us and he knows everything about us. And we can know that he comes into our lives because God's love is forever. It's never stopping, never ending, can't break it. It's an always and forever sort of love. So whenever we see the first candle, I want you to remember about love and what God's love for us is like. Jen, have we got a song for that?
I remember singing this when I was about 4, probably, and I'm sure it was sung for many years before that. So there's going to be no excuses for not doing the actions, because I'm sure everybody knows this one. So it's Jesus' love is very wonderful. So we're going to clap in the verse, and then the actions to the chorus, very easy. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. So let's stand and sing together.
Thanks, for Billy, for leading us. I have a few announcements to make, but first I have a medical bulletin from the month. Thank you to so many people who have been in touch and so many people's prayers. I'm doing okay. This is Ben speaking, obviously. I'm doing okay, isolating in the spare room with only quite mild symptoms. I am being wonderfully looked after by Ruth and the children, who are all clear but felt wiser in the circumstances. Not all to be out this morning. I really appreciate those who have stepped in this week and today, and in my other absences, especially to Nigel, whose offer to help I seized upon, to Billy, who has led us this morning, and Ali Joe playing, as well as... No, I'm not meant to read that bit out. I hope to be out at the end of the week, but I'm not the only one affected by COVID at the moment. Please do remember others in your prayers and continue to take care. Message from Ben. Just a few announcements which I want to highlight. The first one is the election of the Congregational Committee. If you haven't already got your voting paper, please contact your district elder, who should have that. And can you fill in those voting papers and place them in the one of the two boxes which are in the hub, and do that please before next Sunday, because the votes will be counted on a Monday week. Secondly, the special Tuesday break event on Saturday the 11th of December, an intergenerational or a linking generations lunch. And if you would like to attend that, can you please see Iris Francie, who is walking about very officially with a clipboard. So if you see her this morning, or give her a ring. We're hoping to have two carol services on Sunday, the 19th of December. One will be at 4 o'clock, which will be a more family-friendly one, and one at 7 o'clock, which will be slightly more traditional. And there will be refreshments served after both services. The carol services are a great opportunity to invite friends, family and colleagues to come and join us. And from next Sunday, we're going to ask you if you would indicate which of the two services you might be coming to, just to give us an idea in terms of our planning. This evening at 6:45 for 7 o'clock, there is a special event called Digital Resilience Training. It is an online parent workshop run by Deborah Webster. And this is for parents and grandparents and anyone who is concerned about how children and young people access and use the internet. It is in person. You have not heard Deborah before, and you will be made very welcome this evening. Can I also just remind folks about Storehouse, and to remember Storehouse as we head into Advent. If every household or family brought just one item of food each week leading up to Christmas, we would have so much to give. And don't forget also to bring razors and shaving foam, etc., which is for distribution to migrants in need of those. And there are boxes again in the hub. And finally, we have included again on the announcement sheet, if you do require lateral flow equipment, the instructions as to how to get that are all there. Hilary is going to come and do a reading, and after that, Derek is going to come and pray.
The reading is Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Our theme today is love. Let us come now in prayer to our Creator God, who is love. Let us pray. O God of love, to thee we bow, and pray for these before you now, that closely knit in holy vow, we may in thee be one. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, who love us more than we can know, who chose us from the very beginning to be part of your family, we praise your holy name. We thank you for all your blessings to us, for warm, comfortable homes, for more than adequate food and clothing, for money to do the many things we love to do. Father, teach us never to take these blessings for granted. And Father, as we remember how lucky we are, we pray this morning for all those who are not as fortunate. For those refugees and migrants forced to flee their homes and homelands due to war, persecution, famine, or poverty. We pray your blessing on them at this time. We pray that they may find shelter, food, and compassion wherever they are. We pray your hand on the migrant crisis currently playing out on the coasts of France and England. Give the politicians involved wisdom and compassion in their efforts to do whatever is necessary to prevent any more needless loss of life. Father, as we learn more worrying news about yet another variant of the COVID virus, we pray that you will be with the scientists already working on a different vaccine and other treatments which will help us to keep safe. We pray again for our local and national politicians as they take any decisions necessary to help us navigate these difficult times. And we also pray for ourselves that we may have the patience and understanding to do what we need to do to keep ourselves and others as safe as possible. We again bring all those who work on our health and caring services to you, for medical and support staff in hospitals and other medical centres, for those in our ambulance service, for those working in our care homes and community support services. Father, give them all the strength and patience they need during these challenging times. Father, we bring the members of our congregation to you who are not with us today, those who may be watching online, either live or at a later time. Those members who would love to be with us but cannot due to illness or infirmity. We ask that they will know your peace and comfort at this time. We pray especially for our minister Ben as he recovers from COVID. We pray that he will soon be restored to full health and strength, and that Ruth, James, Beth, and Ethan will not succumb to the virus. Father, what a joy it will be for us to have Gerald, Louise, Daniel, Jeremiah, and James back from Kenya. We ask your blessing on them throughout the time they are home on furlough. We pray that the boys will settle quickly and that the whole family will have many opportunities for rest and refreshment. We pray for John and Barita in Japan as they make preparations for their journey home in the new year. And we pray that the recent news of new variants and new travel restrictions will not hamper their plans to come home. Father, in closing, we thank you again for your gift of love. We pray that you would use us to share this gift of unconditional and everlasting love with everyone we meet. We pray all this in the name of our loving Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to hand over to Ali Joe and the press group who are going to lead us in some more worship.
Derek, we're going to stand and sing two songs now. The first one is Here I Am to Worship, where we're going to think about Jesus stepping down humbly to save us. And then the second one we're singing is a little bit more modern and new, but hopefully most people will know it. It's called God Is For Us. And the reason we're singing it this morning is because it really helps us reflect on those words from Romans 8 that Hilary read for us. So, yeah, let's stand together and sing.
Into darkness, open my eyes. What a great song. Thank you very much indeed. November in my life has been very significant for many, many years. Obviously, early November is Remembrance Sunday, and it's been my privilege in various ways to be involved, whether at the Cenotaph or Belfast, in Belfast, or indeed on the Somme. And this first picture is a photograph of Tynecott Cemetery, which in fact is the largest war memorial along the Somme. 12,000 graves, of whom 8,300 are unidentified. An example of love in sacrifice, as of course all those who died during the war. The next slide actually is also from the Psalm. It's a Celtic cross, as you'll see. It's the only war memorial in the whole of the Psalm for the Irish Army, which reminds me again that war and sacrifice and loving sacrifice knows no bounds, no nationality, no difference, because the Irish soldiers fought alongside the British soldiers and gave their life. I can't resist, however, just drawing attention, if you go back just, Chris, to the left-hand photograph, because behind the cross is a church. And the next slide actually shows you the inside of the church. This is in Guimont in France. When I visited there in 2016, I looked at the pews, and at the end of each of the pews there was a little plaque, and it said, "These pews came from Old Park Presbyterian Church in Belfast." I show this slide because Ruth will be watching online, and Ruth and her family and her mum and her dad may well have sat in those pews because they worshipped in Old Park Presbyterian Church, as indeed did my friend Vernon, and he smiled when I showed him this photograph. Late November is also a very important time in my life because, as the next slide will show, it's our wedding anniversary. Now, I know you're disappointed this morning not to see any photograph of Lorna and I in our wedding, on our wedding day. But this reminds me of love in a relationship. If the first set of slides was sacrificial love, this is about love in a relationship. In our case, of two young folk deeply in love who came together, who committed to one another, and 47 years later will share that on Tuesday. Why did I use those illustrations? Because to me, they're simply dimensions of a much greater love. Because our theme today from behind me here is that God is love. God loves us so much. I often think if you could squeeze the Bible, love would drip out of it. Because in the Living Bible, there are 771 references to love. I'm not going to read them all this morning. But from Genesis into Deuteronomy, where it says, "The Lord your God constantly loves you." Psalm 33, which says, "The earth is filled with his love." Zephaniah, when did we ever read from Zephaniah, which says, "He loves you, he exalts after you." John 3 and 16, "God so loved the world." John 4, "God is love." Romans 8 that Hilary read, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God." And of course, Ephesians and Revelation, which talk about the love that Christ had for his church as a bride and a bridegroom. The whole way through, the very fundamental of the Christian faith is God's love for us. And I simply want to say three things this morning about God's love. And the first is that God's love is never ending. A number of us love going to Port Stewart. And if the If you'd sit just at the edge of the Portshirt Strand in this photograph, there's a seat there where you can see the whole strand, the whole way up to the bar mouth. What I'd like you to notice from that photograph are two things. Firstly, look at the waves. They come, and they come, and they come, and they come. Every minute, every day, every month, every year, they never stop. Nothing man can do can stop the waves coming, as King Canute found out many years ago. And that's like God's love. God's love just comes and comes and comes, and nothing man can do can stop God's love coming. The other thing to notice is that there's some people on the beach. If they stood there long enough, of course, the waves would simply sweep them away because they're totally surrounded by the water. And you know something? In our life today, some of us are in different places on the beach. What do I mean? There are those who are facing into illness, those who are waiting for results about illness, those who are recovering from illness. And we need this assurance that God's love surrounds them. There are those who are struggling, whether in business or in school or in work, those who are anxious, and God's love surrounds them. Those who perhaps are lonely, those who have relationship difficulties, who need this assurance that God's love surrounds them. And it's endless, and it never, ever will end. And the other part of that, of course, is that not only is it never ending, but it reaches everywhere. As the next slide, a little bullet point will show, it knows no bounds. In 1986, I was going off for 2 months, actually leaving Lorna and the boys behind, to study in America. The day before I left, two different friends came and they gave me a card. And each of them had the same reference. It was Psalm 139, verse 9, which says, "When you go to the furthermost parts of the earth, the Lord will be with you. His right hand will uphold you." And off I went. And in November that year, the furthermost place I was away from home was in Vancouver. And when I opened my Bible notes for the day, guess what the reading was? Psalm 139, verse 9. If I go to the furthermost parts of the earth, God's love is there because it knows no bounds. And that's why we know that John and Burita in Japan are surrounded by God's love, and Gerald and Louise in Kenya, and perhaps members of your family who are abroad and maybe can't get home because of COVID. God's love knows no bounds, no matter where you are. The second thing I want to say is this, that God's love changes. God's love changes everything. Ben reminded us last week that the Apostle Paul was Saul and persecuted the Christians. And then, having experienced the love of God on the road to Damascus, he became the Apostle Paul. He was the apostle who wrote 1 Corinthians 13. There is faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Because his life was so full of the love of God that it changed his whole outlook. Some of us of our generation will remember the story of Gordon Wilson, wonderful Christian Methodist from Inniskillen, who on Remembrance Sunday in 1987 was standing at the war memorial in Inniskillen when he was blown up. And he was under the rubble with his daughter, Marie. And she said to him, "Daddy, I love you very much." And he responded. And sadly, she passed away. Nobody ever remembers anything any politician said that day. but they will always remember what Gordon said, because he said, I bear no grudge. I pray every day that God will forgive them. Because you know something he said? Love is the bottom line. What an amazing thing for a Christian man to say faced with those circumstances. I tell you that story because there are two postscripts to it. I got to know him very well. And he rang me one day and he said, could I meet him? And I drove down and we had a chat, and he said, this was about 9 months afterwards, he said, Nigel, the Taoiseach has asked me if he can appoint me to the Irish Senate. And he said, I'm totally stunned. He said, I wouldn't do it, of course, if it was causing any problems for the British government. And then he said, you know something, Nigel? I'm only a humble draper, because he ran a drapery shop. I'm only a humble draper. What difference could I make? Well, of course, he was appointed. And thereafter, he engaged with and talked to the IRA. I read recently that one of the stories behind the IRA ceasefire was that they were hugely, hugely impressed and affected by their discussion with Gordon, showing love and grace and forgiveness. Love changes everything. Perhaps I can illustrate it in a slightly different way. Last night, Lorna boiled an egg. It's one of these two eggs. And afterwards, when the water cooled, we took it out, etc., and we put it in the box. So I've got two eggs in this box, one of which is boiled and the other isn't. Right? And the question is, without breaking the egg, how do I know which one is the boiled egg? I look around to the bakers and those who are interested. How do I know? You're not allowed to break it. How do I know which one is broken and which one isn't? Well, if the boys could show me, let me show you this. I have two eggs, and what I'm going to do is spin them. And there's one not spinning. Can you see? Show that, boys? Oh, sorry. I can't see. That's that one spinning very, very slowly. This one, spinning and 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 spinning. And you know the moral of the story? The boiled egg behaves differently because it's been changed inside. What a challenge to us that we fill our lives full of the love of God, and then in all that we do, we show by our attitude, by what we say, by what we do, that we are Christians by our love. And of course, that applies to whether it's storehouse or anything that we're doing, that we might show the love of God. And the third point and the final point is this, that the story of God's love is the most wonderful story ever. We're about to sing in the next week or two, Love Came Down at Christmas. Love, all lovely, love divine. As Billy reminded us when the candle was lit. Love came down at Christmas. Not, by the way, for the first time, because as I've just shown, the love of God starts in Genesis and goes to Revelation. But in the most wonderful way. So in the middle of the presence and the angels and the shepherds is the gift that God gave by sending his son. He gave us his son. And the second point is, of course, that not only did love come down at Christmas, but that we were restored at the cross. Because God gave his son in love that we might have life. From the cradle to the cross, the love of God knows no bounds, and God has restored us through the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection. And of course, in all of that, it's for us. Sometimes, maybe you're like me, when you read the Bible, there are words that you forget, or you actually that don't jump out of you. And Hilary read Romans 8, and Romans 8 and 39 says, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Us, you and I, those who are watching, our friends, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And so as we finish our service and leave, we go with that wonderful, wonderful assurance that God's love is for us. He never leaves us. Yes, he wants to change our lives so that we behave differently, but nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And so as we come to sing our last hymn, could you just look at the two verses that we're going to sing? Because the first one says, here is love vast as the ocean, just like the ocean. And the second verse talks about grace and love like mighty rivers flow incessant from the cross. The ultimate, the sacrifice that God has made through his Son Jesus Christ for you and for me. Here is love vast as the ocean. Addiction, because we're talking and we're offering one another not only the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the love of God. And let's say it to one another. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.